Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the word of God that is like a hammer that breaks the hardness of our heart in pieces and softens us. But Father, thank you that your word's forever settled in heaven. Your word is eternal in its workings. And we thank you for that today. Change us, Lord. Make us different today than when we came in here. When we leave, let us be different. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I'm not going to read the introduction because I'm doing the introduction today. I'm not going to read his introduction. It's a dynamite introduction, but you'll get it when you get the book. But let's just look at a few verses in the scripture about testing. If you'll turn with me quickly to the book of Job, chapter 7. Praise God. One of these days I'm excited when we have our own building. We'll have our own server, and you'll be able to just tap right into that server and use your iPad, iPod, whatever kind of thing you've got that you can get online with. And that'll be awesome. But, you know, we've used this verse so often. And Job in chapter 7, verse 18 says this. You know, what is man that he said that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment? And so whether you like it or not, you're under a test. Every moment of your life, you're under a test. The eye of the Lord is on you. The eye of the Lord sees what's going on in your life. He knows. And so you're under a test. The problem is we often forget that. And therefore, we get into things we shouldn't be into. We say things we shouldn't be saying. We forget that the Lord's listening and that he's watching. But every moment is a test for our lives. Now, turn with me quickly over to Ezekiel chapter 20. Now, this is an interesting verse. And I tell you what, whenever I preach this one, I see some folks typically get a little upset with this. So everybody ought to just start by saying we love our pastor.
And that's a good thing to say because
I'm not after anybody, but I'm just trying to give you something here. He says this, the Lord is speaking, and he says, verse 37 of Ezekiel 20, he says this, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of covenant. You know, here it is, guys. God has a standard, and he has a rod, and he makes you pass under it. Turn quickly, if you would, over to the book of John, chapter 10. And we see this so clearly in Jesus' teaching about the sheep and the shepherd. And in chapter 10, he says this, verse 1, verily, verily, I say to you that whoever does not enter the door to the sheepfold, but climbs in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. See, a little later, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so God has this rod, and it's a standard. And what it was would be very similar to this. Now, I've seen these in Wales. I've seen them in Great Britain. I've never seen them really in Israel because I guess I wasn't paying attention back then. But in Wales, they make all of their fences out of stone. There's so many rocks, they make them out of stone. And that's what's happening in Israel. And so the sheepfold would be a place that every night the shepherds would come into this huge place surrounded by stone fences. And each shepherd would stand at the gate of the sheepfold. And he had a rod. He would take his rod, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, Psalm 23, the great shepherd. And he put that rod down there, and every sheep of his would have to come under that rod. And when they did that, he did other things. He checked them, see they were okay, they were healthy, they weren't, you know, stuck with all sorts of thistles and that sort of thing. You know, guys, God has the same thing. But what I find out is people, especially in our culture, we're rebellious. We don't want to do it God's way. And so that thing rises up in us. Don't you tell me to do that. Don't you? I can do whatever I want to. You're a rebel. You see, and so it's a rod, and it's for our protection. And that's why Jesus said there's one door. You know, this is something about pastors. We've got a lot of prophetic kind of sort of folks here. And here's the thing. You got a pastor. For your safety. And see, there's a conflict of pastors and prophets. Because the prophets want to, you know, shoot from the hip. The pastor said, no. This is how we're going to do it. The prophet, no, you can't tell me what to do. Listen, here's the rod. Okay. Ooh, see, I can feel it already. Just chill. Just calm down. It's not my way, it's God's way. you know, it's an interesting thing, that kind of reaction in people. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Guys, there's a big test coming for the church. I just want my church ready. That's all. Here we are, this little congregation, this is a great congregation, but I tell you what, we're going to pass the test. Because if you don't pass the test, you won't get into the blessed life God has for us. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is preaching, and he says this, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." See, you could say you're a Christian, but if you don't live like a Christian, I'll let you fill in the blank. And then he says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name, have we not cast out demons? And in your name, have we not done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." And that means lawless. You lawless ones. You guys who do your own thing. You say you're a Christian, but you do your own thing. He said, you're lawless. Get out of my presence. Guys, these are strong words. I never want anybody in my church to hear those words from the master. I tell you, I don't want to hear those words from the master. And so, now turn with me, if you would. Everybody okay? Anybody hyperventilating? It's all right, just calm down. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Two or three say they love their pastor still. A lot fewer than a minute ago. That's okay. Praise the Lord. That's okay. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, the Olympics are coming next year, I guess. Is that right? In Russia or someplace? Is that the Winter Olympics? I don't know. At any rate. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we read these verses. And Paul is talking, of a race. And he says, Verse 24, "Know ye not that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize?" So he says, I want you to run that you might obtain the prize. This is the amazing thing about the Christian life. It's not like a race in the Olympics. We all have a prize to get. Every one of us can get a prize. Every one of us can get a crown. But we've got to run the race, and we have to run the race right. We don't get to run the race the way we want to run it. Come on, guys. Come on. Now, the popular culture says God loves me no matter what I do. He does love us no matter what we do. But I tell you what, he's not going to let you stay the way you are. He intends to change you. And these are tests that you're not going to get out of. You can't call in sick. I'm not so old that I haven't forgotten what it was like. You think, oh man, I got a test and I'm not ready for it. And all of a sudden you get a stomachache. Well, of course you got a stomachache, stupid. It's because you weren't ready for it, and that's anxiety. You know what? So you say, I guess I wasn't in high school, probably maybe elementary school. Oh, I'm so sick today. Well, of course you're sick. Because you're not ready. You know? But you're not going to get a call in sick to the Lord. The test goes on. All right? Now, he says this. "And every man that strives for mastery is temperate." That means moderate in all things. You know, I was talking with my oldest son yesterday, and he is so focused on rugby, and he's a trainer as well. He just talks about it. It's all he talks about. You know? Food, and then nutrition, and the right balance. Got to do these things to build muscle and these things to lose weight, Dad. And yeah, okay. All those kinds of things. He's focused. And that's what he says here. If you're going to run the race, if you're going to be in the sport, if you're going to be a participant and you're going to win and bring back a trophy, you've got to be measured in all that you do. And he says, and these people are running to obtain a corruptible crown. But we're running to get an incorruptible one. That means one that cannot waste away. You know, one of the saddest things I often hear and see about is, and this happens occasionally, is you'll see a Super Bowl ring come up for auction, or a Super Bowl ring found in a pawn shop. You know, or I always think, how sad. it take for that man to earn that World Series ring or that World Championship football ring, only to have to pawn it to make a few bucks? It's sad. It's sad. It speaks to the kind of emptiness that success in this life holds unless you have an eternal perspective. So then Paul goes on and he says, therefore I run not uncertainly. He says, so I fight not as one that beats the air. I mean, how do you remember Danny Kaye? And I can't remember the movie. It's where he's a milkman and he gets into boxing, you know? And he just has no clue about how to box. But everything is set up so him to win, you know, so that they can make more money. Because he's a good guy, but the guys that are his trainers and handlers, it's all put on. See? And he doesn't know how to fight at all. And only Danny Kaye or Dick Van Dyke, those, you know, it's kind of fighting and don't know how to do it. And that's what Paul's saying. Listen, I'm not in this thing to fight that way and just to beat the air. I want to win. And then he says this. He says, but I bring my body under. And I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself might be a castaway. Now, friends, I don't want any of us to be a castaway. I don't want to have lived my life and find out when I get to the end that I've run in vain. I don't want my life to, at the end of my race, to find out that I've failed in an area, morally or even financially. I don't want to fail with my family. Praise God, there is grace for all of that if we fail. Thank God for it. But you know what? We don't want to do that. Now, see, when you attempt to circumnavigate the tests or the rod that God puts in your life, you're headed for trouble. Now, tell me what these world-class athletes have in common. Pete Rose, Bill Romanowski, Lance Armstrong, Marion Jones, Alex Rodriguez, Barry Bonds. What's the similar thing? They cheated. They cheated. Yeah, shortcut. They cheated. Oh, what difference does it make? They cheated. If we make steroids legal, then they wouldn't have cheated. But the fact is, they cheated. Well, I think they should. Doesn't matter. They cheated. The law was this, and they cheated. That's it. They cheated. Don't justify them. They cheated. Football players, baseball players, runners. My, cheated. Turn to someone and say, I'm not going to be a cheater. I'm not going to be a cheater. Not going to be a cheater. Now, friends, here it is. Jesus is the high priest of good things to come. He's the high priest of good things to come in my life. Quickly, in Jeremiah 29, some of you have this memorized, and that'd be a great verse to memorize if you're looking for a verse to memorize. And he says this. This is in my Scofield King James. And I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Now, some of you aren't convinced he's thinking good thoughts towards you. But he is. He says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts for peace and not for evil, to give you an expected end. See, so God's plan for your life is for good. And he desires good for your life. And here it is, guys, in Philemon, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this. He that began a good work in you will finish it in the day of Christ. So God started a good work in you, and it's going to be a finished work, and he's going to complete it. Sometimes, you know, I think he's going to finish it with me kicking and screaming. But he's going to finish it. It's just easier if I don't kick and scream. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, see, guys, God has a dream for your life. He has a dream for your family. He has a dream for your vocation. He has a dream for your ministry. And everyone has a ministry. Everyone has a vocation. And everyone's part of a family. You say, oh, I'm an orphan. You're part of a family if you're in a church. So I'm a widow. You're part of a family if you're in a church. God sets us in a church. You say, I'm from this or that kind of family. I tell you what, the church is a family as well. So he has a dream for all of these things in our lives. And only the master can put all these things and weave them together like a wonderful tapestry to make it work for everyone. Now, what happens is we get a glimpse, we get a flash, we get an idea, we get that moment where you have a rush, think, oh man, I'm excited to do this or I'm excited to do that. Let me just cut and simplify all of this down. And it's a little more complicated than this, but not much, really. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to the good works he foreordained we should walk in. So that tells me this, is God made you and fashioned you to do certain things. Don't worry. Oh, if I serve God, he's going to make me go to Africa. If I serve God, he's going to make me be a pastor. Don't worry about it. What's that thing he's put down inside of you that you get excited about? That you got a passion about? You just can't wait to do that thing. What is it? That's probably a God thing. Now, there are times in our selfishness, we're going to pursue something that's not God. But you know, if you've given your heart to Christ and you said, Lord, I want you to lead me, I want you to direct me, you know what? He will. It's not complicated. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37. Let's quickly go there. Psalm 37. If you've got a Bible, I hope that you'll open your Bible and follow it, because it's good for you to look at the Scripture face on, eyeball to the Scripture, and see it. And he says this, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What's that sound like to you? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's what it sounds like to me. And then he says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. See, friends, if you put God first, Father, I want your will first, I want your kingdom first in my life, he's going to start dropping vision and dreams into your heart. Or he's going to start uncovering those things he's already put in there by the DNA he already made you with. You just find out what that thing is. Glory to God, I tell you, is this too hard? This is simple. We make things complicated with all of our religious gobbledygook. Now, so we've said Jesus has a good plan, but we've also said you can disqualify yourself. I don't want you disqualified. Now, a test implies study, work, labor, sometimes sacrifice. You know, if you're in college, when you've got a final on Monday, you can't party all weekend. Duh. You have to sacrifice your social life. I know that's unheard of, but you have to do it if you're going to pass the test. So here it is, guys. I know what it's like in America. We don't like those things. Work. What do you mean work? So what we do when we don't like something, we quit. Oh, I told you last week, as a music teacher, the moms and dads, don't let them quit. One day they'll thank you. Thank you for making me take piano lessons. I hated it, but thank you. But you know, we quit. We quit church. We go find another church. I'll find another church where I'm appreciated. Okay, fine. We find another lover. And sometimes you need to go find another job. I understand that. You don't go find another wife. Now, here's what happens when you do that. You know what's waiting for you at that other church? Same problem. But it might be worse. What's going to be waiting for you at the other end of the family problem? Bigger family problem. All right, I'm preaching to you. I don't like the way it is at home. I don't like your rules.
Dad, so I'm going to go join the Army.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, oh, duh.
See? Do you get my point?
Or the Marine Corps. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to go ahead. What Dad couldn't do, the drill sergeant will. And you know, rightly speaking, bring Dad to bring Dad. There's some things you and I could never teach our kids, simply because we can't. Not allowed. Now, I was going to play this song. It's called Walkin' Sinai. But the music was so bad. It was from 1974. And I couldn't find the original music I used to listen to. And so anything that's out there on the internet was so bad that I can't play it. I mean, it was terrible. Because whoever did it in bluegrass, and it was really bad. It was bad when I used to listen to it. But here are the words. Well, don't you... Oh, you want to do this for me? No, yeah, okay, fine. I tried to get him to rap it for me, but... So, no. Well, don't you know that in the days of old, when the Israelites didn't do what they were told, because of their stubbornness, they failed the test. When they wandered in their faith each time, but they're whining and they're crying for a sign, our Lord simply told them this. Are you ready? Go on and take another lap around Mount Sinai till you learned your lesson. Till you stop your whining and you call and quit your rebelling. Till you learn to stand in your own day of testing by trusting and obeying the Lord. Well, have you been in that situation when the Lord asked you to wait upon Him? But it seemed you could not remain still. So you started planning what you were going to do because you thought the Lord had forgotten. And just then you hear him say, go on, take another lap around Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson. Till you stop your whining and you stop and you quit your rebelling. Till you learn to stand in your day of testing by trusting and obeying the Lord. Well, just the other day I heard the Lord say, son, you got to take another step of faith and trust me to carry you through the storm. And when the storm started getting rough, well, I thought the Lord wasn't strong enough. So I started doing things on my own. And he said, take another lap around Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson. 40 years around Mount Sinai in the desert. And you know, so many Christians do that today. They live their entire life in the desert, wilderness, because they would never submit themselves to the rod of God and to his tests. Now, Pastor Morris in this book, and again, I told you, I wish I'd seen this book and read this one before I gave you the other one. And I just simply can't give you a second book. So, I'm sorry, but this book is life-changing. It will change you. Young people, you need probably your own copy. And we've got 20 copies coming. And this ought to be one of those books that sometimes as a young person or as an adult, you pick up and read. There are some books in my life I read on a semi-regular basis. Reese Howell Intercessor's one. It's good for me. I need to read it. This would be one for many of you, especially young people. You know, I was at the dentist not too long ago, and they were in there with their jackhammer, cleaning out the tartar in my teeth. I had a dentist, my last dentist, before he went on to be with Jesus. He said, you know, if you got a lot of tartar in your teeth, typically you won't have cavities. And so I've been one of those blessed with tartar. So I have to really get in there and work. And so, but I tell you what, they were in there with a jackhammer, you know. He came in and looked at me, and the hygienist was saying all, yeah, well, he's like, this guy, he looked at me and goes, well, you can't teach new dog new tricks, or an old dog new tricks, can you? And I thought, what do you mean? I can learn how to brush my teeth better. At any rate, my point is, I don't know what my point is. My point is, what was my point? Man.
people especially need to read it. And but older folks, yeah, thank you, Patty. She sounds like older folks, you can learn something new. You can learn something new. And there's still, if you're breathing, there's still time for you to pass the test. Now, we're going to do one chapter a week for the next 10 weeks, starting in 2 weeks. Okay. So hopefully these will be here next Sunday so some of you can get them. I would encourage everybody to. Teenagers, listen. It's going to cost you, listen, some of you folks, I know what you do. You probably go to Starbucks 3-4 times a week. That'll buy your book. Sacrifice. Sacrifice Starbucks. I can't go today because I'm putting first things first. We're not going to buy pizza this week. We're going to make it at home. There's a novel idea. And it's going to cost us a lot less, and I'll buy the book. Okay. Here are the 10 chapters. One a week. The pride test. Number 2. The pit test. Number 3, the palace test. Number 4, the purity test. It's based on Joseph, yes. Number 5, the prison test. Number 6, the prophetic test. Number 7, the power test. Number 8, the prosperity test. Number 9, the pardon test. And number 10, the purpose test. And yes, you can start by reading the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. And I'll give you a head start. Now, yeah. Here's the thing, guys. What is the one thing that we have to do if we're going to gain maximum benefit from a test? You know, I had a friend once. And this guy, he was quite the character. He had a handlebar mustache. And cowboy boots and cowboy hat. And he always tipped with silver dollars. You know, or metal dollars. Silver dollar. Waitresses knew him, obviously. First because of his hat, because of his mustache and his boots. But he would always tip with dollar coins. And he was an educator at university level. And he would say, pray like all the study in the world wouldn't work. And study like all the prayer. There's two things. There's study and there's prayer. What are we supposed to do when we're in a trial? It's going to get us through the trial and it's going to earn eternal reward for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. While looking not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal. That means they're passing away. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So if you will look at if you, whatever one of these tests. And you know what, guys? I'm not sure the Lord will take you through the order that he took Joseph. But you're going to have 10 tests in your life. And these tests are going to test you and try you. And sometimes you're going to have to go, you're going to have to be set back a year or a month or whatever it is for the test. You're going to have to get another test, another opportunity because you messed it, you failed it. That's never fun. But when you're in the middle of a test, you have to keep your eye on the prize, the gold medal, the ring, whatever that is, you got to get your eyes set on it. Being like Jesus is really the ultimate prize for us. Now, the pretest for us is, well, we'll put first things first. Will we take the Lord seriously concerning this test? See, the reason we're doing this is because I believe as a church, I believe as a ministry, I believe for our families, that there's a destiny on our lives.
and I want you to accomplish and fulfill that destiny. That's it. But what happens is so often we don't realize what's going on in our lives. And so what happens is we fight against it rather than submitting to it and yielding to it and saying, yes, Lord, teach me. We fight the plan of God. Is this making sense? Okay, let me conclude before we go on to communion and to worship. If you'll turn with me to the book of Luke, and the master's talking, and it's in chapter 22. By the way, this introduction, I'm not sure, is Robert Morris approved, but this is what you're getting today anyway. And so in Luke chapter 22, start in verse 25. Let me see if I can get the right one. Okay. And, you know, the disciples have been striving and fussing among themselves again. And Jesus has to rebuke them for that. You know, he says, I've come among you as a servant. I'm serving you. And, you know, so often, we're striving for position. Guys, it's not about who's going to get 100% on the test. Okay? It's about if we'll pass the test and come out looking like Christ. I want to be like Jesus. There's days I go, there's no way. It's just, I can't even be like Peter. I can't even be like Paul. My goodness, I can't even be like Kenneth or Jerry, let alone like Jesus. Some days I think I can't be like these two. But you know what? I don't need to be like those two, or like Kenneth or Jerry, or Reese or Samuel. I just have to be like Jesus. So in one sense, it's easier. Stop comparing yourself with other people. So we're not after 100% on the test, although that'd be great. I just want to end up like Jesus, okay? Amen. Now, let's listen to what Jesus said. He says in verse 28, he says, You are they who have continued with me in my trials. Oh my. Jesus is allowing us, when we're tested, to enter into his trials. Is that precious? Is that precious? That's precious. That he'd allow me into his trials. And I appoint you a kingdom as my Father has appointed to me. So guys, if you'll pass the test, there's a kingdom, a ministry, a blessing waiting for you. This is in red. He said that you might eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Okay, now, please don't be offended with this. We think, oh, I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to sit at the feast of the Lamb. Yeah, praise the Lord. But you want to know something? Some of you are going to have to take some manner school before you sit down with the King of Kings and Lord of Kings. You're too much of a slob to sit at his table. Well, he wouldn't. Who? How dare you? Whoa, remember the parable of the wedding feast, and Jesus said, who are these who came in here and they're not dressed for the wedding? Guys, trying to get you ready. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to be invited to the White House to sit at a state dinner? Wait, the women thinking, whole new wardrobe. I'm thinking, what do I do with all the spoons? Well, what about the forks? Some of you are going, huh? Because you don't have a clue. There's a fork for this, and there's another fork for that, and you don't use the same fork twice. Because if you do, everybody knows that you're a boob. Sorry. See, different connotations today. I'm showing how old I am. Meaning. It's not while everybody's laughing.
somebody who's ignorant from the backwoods. Okay? I'm sorry. I apologize. There's just things inside that come out, and sometimes things, okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Quit laughing, Patty. But you know, what would you do with all of these, all this silverware, honestly? See, we're used to going to restaurants even. When they take your plate away, they say, keep your fork for the dessert. So, what? This is a restaurant. Give me a new fork. See, but that's what we, okay, fine, and we do. Next time they do that at a restaurant, tell them you want a clean fork. Because we wouldn't know what to do with four forks, three spoons, two different knives. Most of you don't even know which side to drink which water glass out of. Am I telling the truth? All right, okay, see, so that's what I'm talking about. When you sit down at the table with the Lamb, it's going to be proper. It's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. And we got to show up in the right stuff. And that's the character of Christ that we're talking about. So listen to what he says now, and we'll conclude. And, oh my, this whole chapter is so rich. And verse, let's go to, I've got to drop down. I can't continue to preach. Verse 39, and he came out, and he went, it was his custom, to the Mount of Olives to pray. So Jesus had a habit of prayer. Do you have a place you go to pray? I hope you have a place you go to, whether it's in your house or whether it's around the neighborhood or in a park or something. I hope you have a place that as your custom is. If I tell Patty I'm going to pray, she typically knows where I'm going. Because I'll take her there when we go pray together. It's a habit. So guys, here it is. As his habit, so he went and he said this. When he got to the place, he says, pray that you enter not into temptation. So the key for us today is this. As we're getting ready to enter into a season of 10 weeks of testing. Actually, it's going to be the rest of your life. Yeah, I hope you understand that. But actually, it has been all of your life. But the point is, 10 weeks where we're talking about it, where the Lord's going to highlight things in your life, you're going to go, don't you stay home. Because you know we're going to teach that week. Okay? Don't do that. Just buck up like a man, even if you're a gal. Buck up. Quit, act like a man. The Bible says, quit ye like a man, meaning that's Old Testament, that's Old King James. It means like this. Suck it up and act like a man. Okay, cowboy up. Cowgirl up, whatever. And sit down and take it like a man. We'll love you while we're preaching. We want you to come out of this passing the grade. You know, there's a lot of controversy in the world today in the schools. Well, they're just teaching to the test. So let's get rid of these tests. You know what, guys? All of life is a test, and we got to teach you to the test. That's what we're doing. And so as we lay these out, don't be afraid of them. But Jesus said this: pray lest you enter into temptation. So the challenge is this: is we need to pray. Now, what happened to the disciples? They passed? No, they failed the test. They failed the test. Jesus said, wake up, guys. Oh, you guys. He went back and prayed. It was terrible. These guys were just, they were tired. I know there was a spiritual oppression on them. And sometimes, guys, you come to a church service like this, and you start nodding off. There's a spiritual oppression. I may have told you this story years ago when I was first learning these things. I was in a Presbyterian church. And I was learning about discernment. And I was learning about, you know, how to pray. And I remember sitting back in the back pew back there in Greeley. And this guy in front of me kept nodding off. You know, of course, I was so spiritual, you know. And so I thought, yeah, who do you think he is going to sleep in a church service? Well, the problem is I'd never been to many church services. So, you know, I didn't know people did that. And then when I'm a pastor, I would get to see it. That's a demon of slumber. So I bound the demon of slumber. And then Jesus, not loud. I didn't interrupt the service. Presbyterian church. And so in the name. name of Jesus, I bind that spirit of slumber. He started snoring. Oh, that didn't work. These are teachings of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help his flesh. He went, boom, just that way. I mean, a guy snorted himself awake. I asked the Lord to help his flesh. He was awake the rest of the sermon. Sometimes you need to help your flesh. Because your body doesn't want to listen to tests. Your body doesn't want to listen that you got to be pure. Your body doesn't listen that you got to overcome pride and power and prosperity. You don't want to. It's easier to sleep through the service. Amen. So we're going to pray. I'm going to invite the worship band to come. But before we do that, let's just take a moment. Take a deep breath. Look down the road. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, 2 months. Say, Lord, there's things that Pastor Mark just talked about that we're going to teach about testing, and I don't know that I want to face it. But Lord, if you'll help me, I want to pass the tests. I want to pass all 10 of them. Lord, and I know that it's going to be for the long term, but this will be something that will be imparted into my life, maybe for the rest of my life. I'll be able to look back on this 3 month period of time and be able to say, I'm aware of this test. And the Holy Spirit, in 5 years from now, be able to highlight what was taught in the next 3 months and be able to say to you, this is that test that's come now full blown into your life. Pass it. So, Lord, here we are. We need your help. Lord, I'm afraid for my own life that I'll be like the disciples and I'll sleep through the test and I'll sleep through the time when I should be preparing myself for the test. Lord, I pray for my family, I pray for my church family, that, Lord, you'd help us, each one of us, pass the test. Lord, we wouldn't be judgmental toward one another. When we see a brother fall or a sister fail, we don't want to be judgmental because we know our test is happening that very moment about how we act toward them. So, Lord, help us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd grace us in the next 3 months with a spirit of prayer for ourselves and for our families and for one another so that Jesus won't be alone in his intercessions. He won't be alone in that testing and trial of his prayer for us. Lord, I want to thank you for the victory. Your word said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Father, I want to thank you ahead of time. Though I know there'll be stumblings, Lord, I know there'll be times that we get our knees scraped or our elbows scraped and our feelings hurt. But Lord, we see that we're champions. We see that we were made for more than failure and struggle and always having these kinds of tests come out in the favor of the tester, not us. Father, I think of all these great athletes who've wasted their lives, had to give back their medals, been sued and gone to jail in some cases because they cheated. I pray, Father, that we come out as champions, that each one of us come Thanksgiving Day. That's about when we're going to finish with this. On Thanksgiving Day, we'll be able to look back and say, ha, I was tested and I came through because Jesus helped me. And I give thanks for that.